Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 25th. I'm Jason Powell here with a review of the WWE Raw show that took place on January 24, 2011 in Detroit, Michigan. Before we get into the show, a couple of quick things to plug. First off, if you are not a .NET member, now is a great time to become one. If you've missed it on ProWrestling.net, we have launched a special where you can buy 2 months of .NET membership and get the third month free. You'll save $7.50, $15 for 3 months of access, and I timed this so that it would occur in time so you'd get Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and through WrestleMania. So prime time for WWE as well, of course, TNA pay-per-views in there as well. We've got Dragon Gate USA internet pay-per-view coverage coming up this weekend from Chris Shore. If you're wondering what you get as a member, I'll go through that very quickly. Ad-free access to the website, but 4 hours of new audio weekly, and also access to the .NET members forum, the first look at news. We have interviews that have been conducted with former WWE creative team member Court Bauer, former TNA creative team member Dutch Mantel, Conan, Dawn Marie, Sean Waltman joined me for an audio recap of a WWE Raw show and a simulcast with Pro Wrestling Torch editor Wade Keller. Also interviews with Sinister Minister Jim Mitchell, Brock Lesnar, Marty Garner, a longtime friend of the Hardys, and much more. Plus, we have audio reviews of all the major shows, including WWE Raw and all the pay-per-view events from WWE and TNA. Again, it's about $5 a month, and I'll turn that Twitter chime off for you right now. Sorry about that. If you take it actually works out to $5 a month, even if you take the sale price. And in order to take advantage of that, very simple, just head on over to ProWrestling.net. You can't miss the sales pitch. It's on the right-hand side of the screen. And if you have the right browser, it actually blinks. So beware of potential seizures over there. Hopefully that's not an issue for anybody. But I love that blink option. I don't know why. I just can't get enough of the blink option. But I try to keep it in small doses because I know it annoys the hell out of some of you. But you can't miss it right there on the right-hand side of the page. And you can be signed up almost instantly. And again, buy 2 months, get one free at just the right time, heading into the stretch drive here for WrestleMania, and you'll be covered through WrestleMania. I also want to sneak in a quick plug. This afternoon, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, I will be on the PW Torch livecast with Pro Wrestling Torch. Why can't I say Pro Wrestling Torch tonight? ProWrestlingTorch.com editor, PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller and I hook up forces on Tuesdays for the Torch livecast show. We will be taking your phone calls at blogtalkradio.com. The show starts at about 4:30 Central Time, 5:30 Eastern. We go for 1 hour, and then we also do a bonus show after the fact for both of our membership sites, and that ranges from anywhere from about 20 minutes to 30 minutes plus. And that's each and every Tuesday. Again, your calls are welcome. You don't have to be a member to listen or to call in. That's blogtalkradio.com at 5:30 Eastern. All right, now that we've got all of that out of the way, let's jump into Monday's Raw show, which I was looking forward to, figuring I've got a lot of work to do with the Royal Rumble coming up. You know, at the end of 2010, they had that time there where they didn't have any pay-per-views to promote, and they chose not to rush right into Royal Rumble hype. They just decided to kind of play it cool and let people get through the holidays and then kick in the Royal Rumble hype after the first of the year. And I like that. The problem is, it felt like it never really kicked in. They've been in kind of this lull. I'm really shocked. I thought tonight was going to be WWE really putting its best foot forward and delivering a knockout show. And they failed. In my opinion, they failed miserably. I did not enjoy this effort. If you're someone who is on the fence about ordering the Royal Rumble, I don't know how you could watch Monday's Raw show and think, oh yeah, now I'm hooked. Now I have to order this pay-per-view. What did they really sell you on? You know, the marketing has basically been about, this is the supersized Royal Rumble. It's the biggest Royal Rumble ever because they're adding 10 men to it. And, you know, I do think for a lot of casual fans that can register. I said in .NET Weekly last week with Chris Shore that, you know, hey, if I were 10, 12 years old, I'd probably buy into that, or at least use it as a sales pitch to try to sell my parents on the idea that I had to order this pay-per-view and hope that by the time WrestleMania rolled around, they had forgiven the massive pay-per-view charge they were going to get stuck with. But, you know, does it work on the masses? I think it probably does to some extent. But I just don't know that they gave enough for people to really sink their teeth into, get excited about this Rumble match. I mean, granted, it's the Rumble, and I'm sure it's going to do well, better than their normal pay-per-views. It's a big four pay-per-view. People like the Rumble match. But I just, so it's going to do okay, but will it top last year's buy rate? Will it, that's what you really have to compare it to, not the December pay-per-view or any of the off-brand shows, but those big four, and namely, past Royal Rumble events. And maybe that 40-man hook will be enough for the casual fans to latch onto this show, but boy, like I say, if you were sitting on the fence coming into Monday's Raw, I just don't know how you can be all that excited about ordering this particular pay-per-view, because unless you're a big fan of the Rumble match itself, which I think a lot of people are, but just overall, this was a lackluster edition of the show. I'm going to kind of use my report from ProWrestling.net as kind of a guideline. I'm not going to read you every last word or anything like that, but to kind of get us through the basics. So if you want to follow along with me, you can access that via the main page. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, there's a link right there in the feature article section, so you can follow along nice and easily. We did get the opening montage and pyro this week. We got Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, of course, introducing the show from ringside, the immediately hyped champion versus champion in the Divas match. Edge came out. Basically, this was, he doesn't like to wait. It pisses him off when people write checks at the grocery store. And, God, I agree. It used to be the norm, and you just kind of deal with it. Now you got to put up with not only, it just seems like, okay, you don't have cash or you don't have a check card. Seriously, a check? But, a little minor inconvenience, no big deal. The one that gets me is when you have, one item in your hands or you're going to pay for gas, and granted the person doesn't know what you're going to ask for when you get to the register, but when they have arms full of stuff, or worse yet, when they will basically cut you off to get to the only open register at the convenience store to get themselves Powerball tickets or lottery tickets, and Powerball, nice and simple, Mega Millions, whatever it is you play. When they start doing those scratch-offs, give me five of those and six of these and four of these, and even the clerk's looking at them like, really, you gambling junkie loser, get out of my store. And, they can't just let you slip in front of them. All right, enough of my rant there. Back to the show. So I'm with Edge. I don't like waiting. His point was that he didn't want to wait for his match against The Miz, but the anonymous general manager chime sounded, and Cole stood up and announced for the GM that the champion versus champion match would take place later in the show. And instead, there was going to be an exhibition battle royal featuring three opponents for Edge. And the GM's ruling was that whichever man could throw Edge over the top rope would earn the number 40 spot in the Royal Rumble match. And no one earned the number 40 spot in the Royal Rumble match because it was Edge winning a four-man battle royal exhibition in 1 minute and 10 seconds, roughly. Those other three guys in the match, Tyson Kidd, Jack Swagger, and Drew McIntyre, who all looked worthless. They were made to look worthless in this. Yes, Edge eliminated all of them in a little over a minute. This is 2 weeks in a row now they've given us these battle royals, and I think they've lasted a combined, 3 minutes and 30 seconds tops? Last week it was Mark Henry just beating up the heroes of WWE superstars and then Sheamus. And this week it's Edge winning a four-man battle royal. Yeah, that's I don't know about you, that's really got me fired up to order that Royal Rumble, watching these crappy battle royals that consist of nothing. So I guess Edge looks kind of strong. No one else in that match does at all. And afterward, Edge is teasing that he's going to go to ringside and smash the laptop computer as he did once before in the GM. Michael Cole actually stood up and stood between Edge and the GM podium to protect the laptop. Now, those things aren't cheap, as I found out last January 4th when I dropped mine and it broke on a really, really big day, because if you recall, that was the day TNA and WWE were going head-to-head. But if you're Michael Cole, don't you just go, who cares, it's a laptop, he's done this before. And what the dope doesn't realize is that the GM every once in a while will send me an email on my BlackBerry, as Cole's been known to point out. But not when whenever Edge is threatening that laptop, boy, Cole doesn't like that, and God know anything but that. I was surprised the crowd was excited about this. I don't know why. like I say, I mean, they've already driven home the point that, you know, the anonymous general manager can contact people in more than one way. It's not like this is some magical laptop and, you know, this guy's stuck on the Lost Island somewhere and that's his only form of communication. It'd be an interesting storyline if it was the case, but well, I'd like it. I don't know if anyone else would. I miss Lost. Anyhow, the Nexus music played. Punk led the troops out, including Mason Ryan, who was named Mason Ryan tonight. He's the newest member, the Batista lookalike. There were no Batista lookalike mentions from the announcers or anything like that I caught, so they're not going down that road with him. Punk talked about how he sees his surroundings change, and thus he adapts because he is strong. And he said, because the Rumble expanded, so did Nexus. And that's when he introduced Mason Ryan, who he said is from Cardiff, Wales. And he added that he handpicked him. Ryan took the mic and said he only had one thing to say. Faith, playing off the theme of Punk's promos from last week. Punk said he doesn't think he could have said it any more eloquently. And then Punk said, Nexus is bonded by faith. And he said that unlike John Cena and the poor man's Nexus on SmackDown, the core, the Nexus's faith will be rewarded on Sunday. It wasn't much longer after that the core's music played. Wade Barrett led Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, and Ezekiel Jackson to the ring. Barrett said the poor man's Nexus is actually standing in front of him, referring to Punk's crew. And he said the core isn't a dictatorship. It's about four equals. We actually got an Ezekiel Jackson promo. Well, at least some mic work from him. He said that they're going to try to win the matches by themselves, but they will unite to make sure they eliminate CM Punk. Jackson got in Punk's face. Ryan stepped in for a stare down with Zeke, so there's your big jacked-up muscle dude versus big jacked-up muscle dude match that they're teasing. And the anonymous general manager's chime sounded again. This time, Cole stood at the podium, and the GM said that he gave the SmackDown wrestlers an open invitation to Raw, but they have to play by his rules because Teddy Long is sidelined. Thus, he has the power. The GM booked Punk versus Barrett in a singles match. The loser of the match and his entire faction were to be out of the Rumble. And then Cole added the special referee for the Barrett versus Punk match would be John Cena. And, right there I'm like, okay, there's going to be some kind of DQ finish or something goofy because they need 40 guys for this thing, and I don't think they want to eliminate, you know, either one of those factions from the Rumble. So, I think, you know, I don't think I'm all that clairvoyant or anything. I'm guessing that most people kind of figured that was going to be the case, and that's kind of what made things so predictable. Second match, Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus defeated the team of John Morrison and Mark Henry in about 10 minutes. The heels get a lot of the offense. You know, Morrison, they worked over Morrison for a good chunk of the match, which is logical considering that Henry isn't going to, you know, isn't some master seller or anything like that. And Henry did get a hot tag, and, the heels did their fair share of bumping. We did, for some reason, we got a shot of Michael Tarver watching this match on a backstage monitor. He was kind of picking up where he left off on SmackDown, just kind of showing up in random places dressed in street clothes, and in this case, he had a smirk on his face. The finish of this one, Henry was dominating Del Rio. Sheamus intervened, but he was taken out by Morrison with a big flashy move. But then Del Rio applied the cross arm breaker submission hold on Mark Henry and got the win. So no signs of any animosity between Del Rio and Sheamus. So much for the every man for himself. Remember they used to actually play that up and how well it worked? And it was every man for himself in the Royal Rumble. And there's none of that this year. It's two factions that they're united. And there's really not any signs of tension amongst the actual factions. You know, between the two factions there is, but individual, you know, as far as the individual factions go, not really. And they haven't even played up that theme whatsoever, that it's going to be every man for himself in the Rumble. Maybe they will on Sunday. That's great, but it's too late as far as hyping this show goes. So then we got after a commercial break, we got the Divas title match. It was Natalya defeating Melina to retain the WWE Divas Championship in 2:45. I was hoping for more from these two. We just didn't get that much of a match here. Melina was kicking away at Natalya, who then reached up and grabbed her leg and countered it into a sharpshooter to get the win via submission. And then after the match, we got late Cool's music. I should have known as soon as they said that SmackDown crew was welcome on Raw that we were going to see late Cool tonight. They did not disappoint the millions and millions of late Cool fans across the world. Layla said that Natty's finally going to lose some weight in 6 days. McCool said that Natalya will never lose body weight and look like them, but rather they're going to take the Divas title away from her in a match at the Rumble. I don't think they ever specified what the match would be. In fact, I had to wait until after the show and go to WWE's website and hope, because even when they previewed the Royal Rumble, you know, the announcers do that bit at ringside and they run through the matches. Well, there's only 3 matches plus the Rumble on their show so far, and they didn't even bother to mention the Divas match when they went to ringside. They hyped the 2 men's titles matches and the Rumble match, and that was about it. They did not, I don't think they mentioned anything about the Divas, so yeah, I had to wait until after the show. It turns out it's a handicap match, and the justification is that Lay Cool is now invoking their rematch clause. I can't even remember, but I think it really did play out. Didn't Natty beat both of them in a handicap match? And if so, it makes sense, but I don't know why they couldn't take the 2 seconds to explain that on Raw. I guess Michael Cole was too busy cheerleading and being a bad heel or something. After commercial break, we got recap videos and all that good stuff. Then we went backstage to David Otunga, Mike McGillicuddy, and Husky Harris, who were worried about CM Punk losing the match and then none of them getting to enter the Rumble. Punk and Ryan showed up, so it looks like Punk and Ryan are best of buds, and the other three are just kind of along for the ride at this point. Punk said he took a sacrifice last week, referring to that kick that Ryan gave him, I guess. Punk said Ryan will make his sacrifice at the Rumble, and he said they will also sacrifice their spot in the Rumble because all of their lives will change if he wins the Rumble. Harris wasn't particularly pleased about this, and Punk did pick up on it. So maybe there's your sign of a little bit of tension. But Husky pointed out that Punk could draw the first entry in the match and be eliminated before any of them even entered. And Ryan said Punk won't be eliminated. And he said something else. Whatever he said at first, I completely missed. It was like he was speaking a different language. Maybe he was. I have no idea. And sadly, honestly, I just didn't care enough to hit the rewind button. Because I think that it's pretty obvious they're going to have him speak in small doses to begin with, which is probably for the best. But Punk told them not to worry about hypothetical situations, and he said that the better man will prevail in his match against Wade Barrett. And then Punk told the troops to have faith, and they all took a knee and did their little Nexus hand raise deal, and that was the end of that. Backstage, Josh Matthews introduced John Cena for an interview. Cena suggested that he'll call the Barrett versus Punk match down the middle, as he always calls matches down the middle, and he said he'd deal with the winner's faction at the Rumble. The Miz and Alex Riley showed up and were mocking John Cena. I don't even remember what he said, but it was some lame attempt at humor, and they just pretended to laugh way too hard. I don't know if they knew it. Maybe that's kind of the joke, but they sounded a lot like the Raw Raw commentating team when they just started laughing too hard at one of John Cena's jokes. Miz said winning the Rumble would be the worst thing that ever happened to Cena if he chooses to face him at WrestleMania. So they're really starting to plant seeds for Miz versus Cena at Mania, aren't they? Miz pointed out the beatdown that he gave Randy Orton and teased that he'd do the same to Edge, and then Cena challenged him to give him that beatdown right now. Not yet, Miz said with a big smile. And then Cena brought up the possibility that Miz could lose to Orton at the pay-per-view, and then told him that he and Riley smell like sewage. Where was the fake laughter there? Cena walked out of the picture, and Miz told Matthews to hit the bricks. Josh Matthews hit his. Miz and Riley then set up video highlights of their attack on Orton from the previous week. I like that Miz is mocking Cena. Part of it, I hesitate to say this because I want it to stay the way it is, but I do wonder, are they going to start to turn some people against Cena for pointing out how stupid his jokes are? There are going to be some fans at home going, yeah, they're right. This guy's kind of a cornball. I don't know. Maybe that's by design, and maybe someday we'll actually see John Cena heel turn. I don't know, but his jokes are corny. And, it's a reason that a lot of, not even older, but, I think Cena gets the very young crowd. I think it's a reason why fans get to a certain age and they kind of start to see Cena as kind of nerdy. You kind of grow out of John Cena, I'm convinced. Not everybody. He's got a share of older fans as well. But, it does seem like a lot of fans get to a certain age and say, no more John Cena. Fourth match is Edge beating The Miz with Alex Riley by an apparent DQ in a champion versus champion non-title match in 1640. Matches don't matter anymore on Raw, or at least the results don't, so I don't even think they gave us an actual result of this match. I could be wrong. I wanted to get into this match, and I mean, Edge and Miz, I think they can work well together, and the problem was there were two commercial breaks in this match. So it was, you know, the first time you expected it, it happened pretty early in the match, and then just about the time I start to get into the match a little bit, it was kind of slow building, and I'm like, okay, they're just saving something for down the stretch, and then they go to another commercial break, and I'm like, okay, now they're, you know, kind of building us up to this, and the pace did pick up after the break, but it was nothing particularly special about this at all. I mean, just overall, this is champion versus champion, and it seems like every time they have one of these, I go into broken record mode and complain that it should mean more. Well, this one meant less than, like, the past 20 times they've done champion versus champion. The crowd was flat from the start. When they did the ring introductions and, you know, right before the match, it looked, you know, you kind of like, are they going to have a stare down bit? And I know, you know, it's Edge and Miz, and I don't think anyone sees this as necessarily a dream match or anything. But I thought maybe they'll try to build it up as something special with that stare down. No, instead they had Dolph and Vicky come out, which is fine. But then the bell rang, like, as they're still getting settled in at ringside, and just kind of came out of nowhere. The crowd was really flat throughout this match. They picked up as the pace picked up down the stretch, but no one saw this as anything special, which I just say that if it can't be, if your champion versus champion match, if you know going in that it's not going to be seen as special, then don't do it. Save champion versus champion matches for when it does feel special, when you can build it up and maybe pop a rating, you know, something crazy like that. Not this time. I'd be shocked if this popped any kind of a rating because it just, you know, neither guy really feels like that dominant of a champion or anything like that. They're not, you know, Edge is like the top guy on SmackDown for now, but I kind of feel like he's a transitional champion, and The Miz is still kind of positioned as the chicken shit heel champion, and so I don't know that fans are necessarily looking at either guy as, like, you know, being one part of that dream showdown match. But the finish of this one, let's see, Orton ended up, Ziggler hit the ring when Edge was about to go for a spear, and he tripped up Edge to prevent him from doing that, and then Randy Orton hit the ring. This is where the crowd really came to life. They loved Randy Orton, and he went after Miz at ringside and threw him back inside the ring. Riley tried to attack Orton but took an RKO, and then Ziggler recovered, but he also took an RKO. Miz hit the back of Orton's leg with a briefcase and then ran up the ramp. Thought maybe they're going to play up that Orton was really injured going into this match or something, but they didn't. It was just kind of like that was it. He hit the back of his leg. Orton limped a little bit and told the medical staff told him he wasn't allowed to go back in the NFC Championship game, and everyone called him a pussy and all sorts of horrible names, and that was the end of it. Okay, yeah, that last part didn't really happen, but he did hit him in the leg. Backstage, we got Josh Matthews interviewing Wade Barrett, who said that he became obsessed with winning the WWE Championship and humiliating John Cena, and that cost him the Nexus. He said the silver lining is that he's now a member of the core, and there are no leadership issues because they are all equals. I'm going, no, Heath Slater's not your equal. Josh Matthews brought up the attack that occurred on Teddy Long on SmackDown that we're all supposed to care about, yet I don't know that they actually bothered to show us footage. I'm bad when it comes to their highlight packages. A lot of times I'm, you know, like, there's my time to, if I'm behind a little bit in my coverage, if I need to rewind to catch something, that's when I'm fast-forwarding, so maybe I missed it. But they kept bringing it up, but I don't recall seeing it on Raw. But like I say, I may have missed it. He added that he hopes, Barrett said that he's not even going to justify that with a response, and added that he hopes Long makes a speedy recovery. And he said that he knows John Cena will never like him, but he hopes that in time Cena will respect him just as he respects Cena. And so, you know, I mean, there's part of me on, I don't think they're going face with these guys, but I saw it for what it was, basically, which is I think it was Wade Barrett's last-ditch effort to suck up a little bit to the special referee of the match. Makes sense. The fifth match of the night was one of the most meaningless matches of the night. It was Ted DiBiase, Maurice, and Alicia Fox defeating Daniel Bryan and the Bella Twins in a mixed tag match in 1 minute. Yes, 1 minute. But I was shocked to see the team of Ted DiBiase and Maurice have any type of success. Alicia Fox may as well have been me. I could have been out there and done the same thing and just wore a wig. And did she do anything in this? The finish was that Maurice tagged herself into the match, and then one of the Bella twins became distracted when her sister was flirting with Daniel Bryan. Maurice rolled up the jealous sister and got the win that way. And that was the end of that. And I'm like, yeah, that really has me pumped up to see the Rumble. We get some bickering between the celebrity whore Bella twins that I don't think most people give a damn about. And yeah, that was about it. I don't know what else there really was from this. Then we, after commercial break, we got Cole hyping matches and the announcers running through that Royal Rumble pay-per-view card, not bothering to mention the Divas match, even though there's only technically four matches on this entire show right now. Backstage, the Bella Twins were bickering as Michael Tarver watched briefly, so they made sure to get Tarver in there. I'm mildly intrigued to see where they go with Tarver. I had somebody email me after the show asking me where I think they're going to go, and I'm just like, I don't know, it's Michael Tarver. I haven't put a whole lot of thought into this, but, my first instinct tells me that, he was in Nexus. Maybe they're going to position him as kind of the free agent, or he could be in the core, or he could be in Nexus. But I don't know that anyone's going to care either way, except for that one emailer who did care. God bless him. I don't know where they're going with Tarver. I always thought Tarver had a good presence and decent on the mic, but it gets ugly once the bell rings. So I don't know if they're going to launch Michael Tarver's single career or anything like that. So we'll see where they go. But after Michael Tarver left the picture, the Bellas were bickering. And they missed their celebrities. They entered Daniel Bryan's locker room and found him making out with Gail Kim. And Gail Kim, that woman who just shows up and loses every once in a while, or is in those throwaway six Diva tag matches where she might be in for 10 seconds. Yeah, her. That woman who had really great matches in TNA with Awesome Kong and then came to WWE and, yeah, it's, I think she, yeah, she is still there because we saw her tonight. Gail Kim's meant nothing since she went back, so I hope this is the beginning of some type of push. We know Awesome Kong is going there, but I don't want to see these divas bogging down Daniel Bryan's act. I think it's pointless. I've gone off about it on the site. If it's to enhance the act, I get it, but I think they're really dragging this guy down. He was doing just fine. He stood out because he was different, because he didn't try to have this larger-than-life act. He was just kind of this guy that was happy to be there and was just, kind of a straightforward, straight-shooter type and got it done in the ring, and the fans seemed to be seemed to relate to that and seemed to be digging it. He seemed to be catching on. And then they just, for some unknown reason, decided, we need to add the Bellas to his act because they've done so great on their own. Let's make Daniel Bryan the Will Ferrell character from The Other Guys, where he will get the girl, and no one knows how he gets the girl, and he doesn't even know how he gets the girl. He's just surprised by it. Gail ended up, so the Bellas are pissed that, Daniel Bryan's making out. They wanted to be Daniel Bryan's first, which Cole did tell us tonight. They wanted to be the first, they were trying to see who could be the first with Daniel Bryan. So I think it was certainly implied that they thought he was a virgin. There was some tease that maybe they thought he meant, vegan meant virgin. So the Bella Twins must be amongst the stupidest people on earth. I guess that's what we were supposed to get out of this. But Gail was telling them that Bryan hung out with them because he felt bad for them now that there were no guest stars around. I like that. And then things got cattier when the Bellas referred to Gail as an afterthought. It's like, wow, way to drive home the point that most of your divas are worthless. That's pretty much what they did here. They pointed out the obvious that the Bellas haven't been good for anything other than hanging on celebrities and Daniel Bryan. And Gail Kim, she's an afterthought. She took offense, and then it was time for a big cat fight with two Bellas against one Gail. And then, Daniel Bryan's trying to break this up, and out of nowhere, there were two referees just show up and decide to help pull the women apart. Like, I guess the referees are always on call. Where there's a camera, maybe we're supposed to assume there's two referees waiting behind the camera just in case a pull-apart brawl should break out. So I don't know where they're going with this. It's going to be, I hope we're not doomed to a bunch of Gail Kim versus Bella singles matches that end in the stupid Bella switcheroo thing that's been done a billion times. Maybe Gail will be the one that will see it coming somehow and alert the referee and put an end to that ridiculous crap. I don't know. I can't even say I'm excited. Yeah, I want to see Gail Kim get a, you know, more of a push in WWE, but she hasn't had great matches since she's gone there, and I don't think she's going to have great matches with the Bellas. The Nexus music played. Otunga, Husky, McGillicuddy, and Mason Ryan headed to the ring. And Cole hyped that the WWE tag titles would be on the line after the break. And we went to a commercial. And when we came, you know, during the break, they teased that SmackDown drew its highest viewership total to date on Sci-Fi, which is true. The numbers are up for the Friday night show, so WWE, despite their stock woes, have got to be pleasantly pleased with SmackDown's number going up, because it was getting kind of ugly there for a while. And then Cole hyped that Randy Orton and Edge will take on the team of Dolph Ziggler and The Miz in the main event of Friday's SmackDown television show. I don't think that one should surprise too many people, given the way the main event tonight played out. Then after that, we got Husky Harris and Michael McGillicuddy defeating the team of Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov to win. Oh, wait, no. They did not win the WWE tag titles. This is another one of those cases where, you know, you speed through something and I can miss the ring intros. Well, I made the mistake of not catching Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole correcting Michael Cole's earlier call. They did say prior to the match that Cole made a mistake. The tag titles were not on the line in this match. So their bad and my bad for missing that. Difference is, how do you mess that up? I guess things happen on live television. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but I wasn't the only person. I got emails from people correcting me, going, no, the tag titles weren't on the line. They corrected it. And then I got emails from other people going, what just happened there? Why didn't they make a bigger deal out of the tag title change? So I wasn't alone. You'd think they would have driven that point home through the match, I guess. But they didn't. This was Husky Harris getting the pin on Santino after Santino went for the Cobra on McGillicuddy and missed. And then Harris roughed him up and got the win. And then Otunga took the mic. God knows why they keep handing it to him. And he asked viewers to give a warm welcome for the man who has sacrificed so much for them and that they will sacrifice for on Sunday. That led to CM Punk's entrance. And then we got a backstage shot of John Cena. This was like, I guess, the old Mean Joe Green. Was it Coca-Cola commercial, probably? I think it was Coke. I don't think it was Pepsi. I don't know. I don't care. But I remember when Joe Green, like, handed his kid the jersey because he gave him a big swig. I think it was Coca-Cola. Yeah, well, in this case, there's just some guy sitting back there, and John Cena's a man of the people, so he took his dog tags off, kissed them, and just threw them to this guy. I don't know who this guy was, and also thinking, we're supposed to think these dog tags mean something to Cena. We have no idea who this man is. If there's John Cena throwing him the dog tags, those fake dog tags. At least Cena has explained that they, you know, when he kissed, it's got the names of, like, his family members or something on there, which is a nice way of covering up the fact that he started using those dog tags because he was in a movie called The Marine, and even though he has no military experience, he started doing a bunch of Marine salutes and poses and all sorts of other things, and then had these dog tags. So, I don't know. But, yeah, that was that. When we came back, we got Wade Barrett and the Corps making their entrance, and then Cena came out. Both factions headed to ringside for Cena. And at first I'm thinking, this is stupid. You've got like nine guys, and there's one John Cena. And you're actually clearing the ring for Cena, and I know it's, you know, to let the babyface have his moment of glory, but from a story, you know, just from a logic standpoint, it's like, shouldn't they just be like, no, screw you, you're not going to get your moment of glory? And I get to thinking about it, it's like, well, Cena has pretty much kicked the ass of every guy in that faction at one time or another, with, I guess, the exception of Mason Ryan and Ezekiel Jackson, and he plowed through member after member for, in the course of one episode of Raw, how many guys from Nexus did he take out that one week? So I guess it does make sense in a weird way that they would all, like, run like little bitches to ringside because John Cena came out. Seventh match was CM Punk fighting Wade Barrett to double DQ in 205 with John Cena as the special ref. I'm like, all right, they're running out of time here. We're, you know, this match started a couple minutes before the top of the hour, and I'm like, they must have something really strong up their sleeve for this final Royal Rumble push. This has got to be the big one, right? No, not so much. I mean, it was fun. The live crowd was into John Cena's antics. He He was teasing that he was going to ring the bell, and instead he banned the Nexus members. Then he teased that he was going to ring the bell again, and then he banned the core wrestlers. So it was just down to himself, Punk, and Barrett. And then he finally called for the bell. And about 2 minutes in, he decided to disqualify both men. And he went over. He tells Justin Roberts that they're both disqualified for using profanity on a PG show. Jesus, he just keeps alluding to this PG thing. Why? Your average viewer at home doesn't like that you're a PG show. I'm sure there's some parents out there that appreciate that. But save that talk for the sponsorship meetings. You know, don't keep reminding your audience that. You know, I really do believe the vast majority of these people aren't crazy about WWE being PG, so don't remind them. You know, be PG all you want, but you don't have to just rub it in the face, you know, just rub their noses in it that, hey, we're PG. He just keeps doing it. Roberts announced the ruling for Cena that both guys had been DQ'd and said, thus, neither the Nexus nor the Core would be in the Royal Rumble. It's like, yeah, right. Cena started to head toward the ramp when the email chime sounded, and Cole stood up and stated that on behalf of the general manager, that Cena had abused his power, and the GM can't overrule the referee's decision, but he can change the stipulations, and thus the Core and Nexus are both in the Royal Rumble match. So the DQ finish stands, but the stipulation of the match is overturned. And we're right back where we started, which I think is what most people assumed is going to happen. I just don't think too many people were like, you know, something's going to happen here, and one of these groups is really going to be out. I do think, you know, Vince McMahon talks about, you know, not insulting the intelligence of their audience or underestimating the intelligence of their audience. And I think they did here, because I think people look and go, I think they need 40 guys. Are they really going to take 5 guys out of this side or 4 guys out of the other side? No. They're not going to. And but, you know, I mean, like I say, other than the PG thing, I thought Cena's antics were fun. But I don't know that fun is going to sell the Royal Rumble, which you really needed to do here. Cena slipped out of the ring as the Core and the rest of Nexus hit the ring after this match. And actually, you know what? I missed a part. Cena was told by the general manager that he had to go into the ring and apologize to Punk and Barrett, or he would be the one out of the Rumble match. The general manager wanted him out of the Rumble match. Why didn't he just say, screw you, Cena, you're out of the Rumble match for your actions? I guess we're not supposed to overthink that one. Cena entered the ring and apologized to both men without a mic in his hand, but you could hear it. And then he threw punches at both of them. So he gave the general manager what he wanted and then did what he wanted. And then Cena slipped out of the ring as the Core and the rest of Nexus hit the ring. The fans chanted for Cena as 2 Nexus members went after him on the floor. And then Big Show's music played and a whole shitload of babyface wrestlers hit the ring to brawl with the 2 factions as the show concluded. And I know I'm not trying to pat myself on the back for this one, because I think a lot of us realized how this show was going to end, kind of the way it seems to end most, you know, go-home editions of Raw before the Rumble. If it's not Raw, it'll happen on SmackDown. Everybody brawling in the ring. And that's exactly what we got. So there was some formula stuff here, but I still... Man, I just think they did a lousy job of promoting this Royal Rumble match as something special. Hey, there's 40 guys, so it's bigger than ever. Okay. But the hype for the match sucked other than that marketing pitch, and I guess thank God they came up with that. Because if they didn't, I mean, where would the show be? At least they have that. They can hope that that was enough to get some people, you know, on the right side of the fence for them. But you take that away... I don't know. They haven't done a good job. I mean, I think Miz and Orton will be your typical Randy Orton good match, not a great match. And Edge and Ziggler, I'm looking forward to seeing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not that I expect this to be a bad pay-per-view, but I just don't think they gave the masses a reason to really get excited about it. And they're usually very good at making people, you know, care about the Rumble and see this as something special. And you know, I thought Cole at least at one point hyped this as the road to WrestleMania officially begins on Sunday. You know, stuff like that helps, but I just didn't think overall the hype for Sunday's Royal Rumble show was strong. And I haven't felt that way for, you know, throughout the month of January. Like I said at the top, you know, I get it. You take December off, basically, you know, the end of it, when after you've had your pay-per-view, and you don't beat people over the head with the next pay-per-view that's not going to take place for over a month away at that point, and you let them get through the holidays, and then, you know, you get through the first of the year, and you start to go aggressive with the Rumble. But I just never really felt like that Rumble hype kicked into another gear. It kind of stalled out in first gear. Disappointing. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if the writers were busy this week trying to sell their WWE stock now that that's taken such a hit, or what the hell was going on, but not a good job by WWE this week. I was surprised and disappointed that the go-home edition of Raw for the Rumble was this lackluster. But the good news is that those of us who order the Rumble, I think we'll probably get a pretty good show. A lot of people are like me, and that the Rumble is one of their favorite matches of the year. Doesn't mean it's always a great match. I think it was a couple of years ago we kind of got a dud Rumble. It's the ones that have kind of multiple layers, different stories that are going on, not just a glorified battle royal where it's just a bunch of guys standing around punching and kicking, but I want some actual stories in this. And that's the thing I like about the Rumble. They haven't really built made you think that anyone out of the ordinary could win this thing. They didn't really tease any possible surprises for this thing. There's no sign, there's no reason at this point to suspect that Triple H is going to be there. But then again, there was no tease that John Cena might be there the year that he made his surprise entrance in the as the 30 man in the Rumble and went on to win that thing. So I guess we shouldn't read too much into that. But I thought those are the moments you really spotlight. You remind people that things like that have happened before, and you don't go crazy on it if you don't have something up your sleeve, and you don't go too crazy on it and over foreshadow something and get people, kind of ruin your own surprise. But you find some way to get people excited about this match and the possibilities, and they failed with this show. Before I wrap this up again, give some serious consideration, because this is the first special I've done here at .net for membership. And again, I timed it out so you guys could get in time for the Royal Rumble at this reduced rate and stick around with the membership through WrestleMania and beyond. You'll get, if you buy 2 months, you get the third month free. And it's a limited time offer. This isn't going to be around I haven't really set an end date yet, but it's not going to be around long. So I encourage you, don't hesitate on this. Get in while you can, and get all access on a regular basis, not just when we decide to post a podcast, but you can hear all of the .NET audio that we do, past and present. And also, get that ad-free access to the member site for the big pay-per-view events coming up, and that includes the TNA shows and also, as I said, Chris Shore doing the Dragon Gate USA iPay-per-view coverage this weekend. So ad-free access to the members forum, the first look at .NET news, and a ton of audio. If you sign up right now, you can save yourself $7.50 a month. Buy 2 months and get that third month free and be covered to WrestleMania and beyond. So, I don't do these specials very often, so take advantage of it while you can, a limited time offer. But that's it for me today, at least until the PW Torch live cast this afternoon. So I hope you guys will stop on by to blogtalkradio.com, and you can call in with any questions or comments you may have. That's Wade Keller and I at 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern Time, each and every Tuesday, taking your questions and discussing the latest in pro wrestling. So until then, thank you for listening, everybody. .NET members, I will talk to you on the post show and the live cast, and also coming up on Thursday with .NET Weekly. Chris Shore will be by with his Q&A on Wednesday. I will be by with mine on Friday. And then we've got a ton of Royal Rumble stuff ahead, including some coverage in .NET Weekly. And again on Sunday night with the WWE Royal Rumble post-show. And that will be, all of that will be member exclusive. So again, a ton of audio available to the members. But thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Take care.